and welcome to The Executive Appeal, a show that convenes the world's most powerful and successful leaders to share mentoring and career advancement advice to help you successfully transition into senior level executive positions. I'm your host, Alex Trimble, award-winning speaker, author, and leadership expert with over a decade of experience coaching and advising some of our nation's most senior level government leaders. So if you're ready to reach your goals, let's get started. Welcome, 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 welcome to all of you beautiful, wonder, ambitious leaders to another episode of The Executive Pill. I am your host, Alex Trimble, and I am thrilled to have you joining us today. As we said before, this podcast is laser focused on moving you past that ordinary, the cliches of just work hard and everything works out. We know that's not real. To actually uncover the true secrets of success to not only reaching the executive level, but to being successful in the executive level. Now, before we get started and dive into today's interview, I have to say really quickly, I am super excited as always to share The Executive Pill is still one of the top 5% most popular shows in the world. And let me say this and be very clear, it didn't happen by accident. It was you who made this happen. It will be you who determines the continued success of this show. So here's our call to action. For all of you amazing listeners, if you enjoy this content that we bring to you each and every month, we ask for your support. Please click the like button. Please click the share, ask a question, share your comments in the comment section. And most importantly, please share this episode with at least two of your friends or colleagues today. Your engagement and enthusiasm keeps this community thriving, and we couldn't be more grateful. And now, with no further ado, let me say, today is a good day. See, today we have the always wonderful, awesome, magnificent, cool, and super slick Mr. Tony Franklin with us. Tony is the VP of Advertising Sales and Client Partnerships at DirecTV and is a seasoned professional with over 26 years of media experience, leading teams and driving innovation, revenue, and transformation across sales organizations. Prior to his current role, he was VP, VP of Sales and Client Partnerships at Warner Brothers. You know, that Warner Media, that small quote-unquote organization. I'm being facetious, not small. And VP of Sales at Xander. How are you doing today, kind sir?
Buddy, I'm doing great, man. I mean, listen, you know, listening to your opening and the energy that you bring and all about, you know, goal setting and more importantly, helping to take people to the next level. How could I not be feeling well? This is awesome. This is what I love to do. So I'm glad I'm here to have this conversation with you, Alex.
Oh, so I do have a really quick question. I'm a little, the word is not taken back, a little surprised. Because you know, your background, I mean, phenomenal. Like the resume you have is just crazy ridiculous. Yet you come on this podcast and you have this wonderful radio voice and a smile for TV. How are you not in front of the camera, kind sir?
Buddy, it's one step at a time, right? So at the end of the day, that's what I'm working on right here, being on your show. But no, man, all jokes aside, I really, really enjoy people. And I'm a very, as you are, very positive individual. I grew up that way, very optimistic, you know, always look at the glass half full. So, and one of the things I've learned growing up is smiling and being happy is part of success. Mm. Okay. And a lot of times we focus on all the things that are not going well. But at the end of the day, you have to smile, right? That is your calling card to the world. The first impression that you give the world is that smile, right? And so don't get me wrong. Some days I want to cry. But, you know, the smile part is who you are. And more importantly, it allows the world to be able to receive you from the onset.
You know, I appreciate you putting on the table. And if you don't mind me picking this up for a little bit.
No, go ahead, my friend.
There's a belief that either the world is gloom and doom or doom and gloom, or the world is sunshine and rainbows all the time. You know, if most people who interact with me will see me smiling and laughing and joking and trying to encourage and inspire everyone I'm around consistently. But I'll tell you, the other night, I woke up, you know, super early in the morning. My little boy, you know, needed a bottle. You know, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. Couldn't get back to sleep. So, you know, waited, you know, did some work, went to the gym. I remember, you know, after I got finished with the gym, I wasn't ready to go home. So I went to the grocery store. You know, this is like 6 in the morning now. And I found myself about to cry, like just tearing up. I'm like, and looking into myself, like, why do I feel like this? Oh my God. And I was tired. I had just been going on, like going full on for so long that I was tired. And I was like, oh my God, am I going to get a break? And I have obviously the power to give myself a break, but you know, these ambitious leaders that you and I work with and around, like we feel like you got to keep going. Do you have any reactions to that story? Have you ever seen that in other people?
Buddy, I lived it. And it's a struggle for all of us because you just said it. We have a mindset that we need to be on 24/7 and that we can handle anything that comes our way. And that's one of the reasons why people succeed is because they have that mindset, but it can be a negative as well. And one of the things I had to learn is that I'm not a robot. And for me to get to be the best person, that you have to shut down sometime. And if you don't mind, I'll share a story with you. It was really the thing that woke me up to this. I'm a big Apple guy, right? I have all the Apple's products, iPhone, iPad, the watch, everything, right? The whole nine yards, right? And I remember when Steve Jobs, who, you know, as you know, started at Apple, they kicked him out. He came back and took it to a whole nother level. Mm-hmm. And when he had cancer and, you know, at the end of the day, it became terminal. Mm-hmm. And there was nothing he could do. And they sent him home, no matter how much. And he said himself, no matter how much money I got, yeah, can't solve this issue. But the point I'm going to make here is this. Here's a guy that built a company that now is worth $2 trillion. And when he passed away, that next day, you saw every media outlet, social media, everybody, Steve Jobs, oh my God, blah, blah, blah. And rightfully so. He deserved that tribute.
Yeah.
The day after, the world kept turning. You didn't see Steve Jobs' name no more, right? The world moved on. It was a huge wake up for me. Huge. Because back to your point, we feel that we need to be on 24/7. And the reason we feel that way, we think we're so important,
yeah,
that if we're not involved, it's going to go crumbling down. And here's a guy who built a $1 trillion organization.
Yeah.
Okay. Had all the money in the world. And he passed away, okay? And the world kept going. And it will keep going when we pass away. So that right there taught me something. Tony, it ain't that important. Yeah. Tony, and I know we'll probably talk about this, but if you build teams and you build the right team, mm-hmm, and you empower them to make decisions and don't be afraid to make a mistake, guess what? They will. They'll move forward. So that's why, and don't get me wrong, I'm not 100% cured, okay? All that being said, it's something that's I'm very conscious about, and it's something that I work on, because you can't, yeah, just flip it on and flip it off. You have to work at these things. So yeah, my brother, I totally get it. I empathize with you. I'm there with you, but I'm pretty sure eventually you'll be able to work through this as well.
Hey, thank you so much. Again, to your point, it's crazy in the work that I do. And again, what both of us are doing and around, I'm consistently that person for the people I work for, right? Working with executive leaders, you know, coaching them and help building them up, inspiring them, so on and so forth. And it's so easy to forget about yourself. You know, especially when you enjoy so much pouring into others, it's so easy to forget about yourself. And to your point, actually, there was a client I was working with right now. were building out some leaders development programs for them and whatnot. And the HR director she's phenomenal. She's really, really cool. And we were having a conversation because she just got back from maternity leave. And she was telling me, like, she'd been there maybe 2-3 weeks back in the office. And she was like, Alex, like, I was so nervous to come back because I felt like I was gone for so long. Then if the company was moving on without me, then do they even need me? Right. Do I provide value? Right. And so that's another narrative that we have in our heads.
There's no question, my friend. There is no question. We all have that fear. And here's the thing. I just want to back up a second because you said something and I want to make sure I'm clear. And although there definitely needs to be a balance, the difference when you do something that you love, okay, it's not work. You could do it all day long, okay, because you enjoy doing it, right? Still need to cut off and you know, it, you know, when you, I learned about money years ago, and one of the first concepts of money is pay yourself first, okay, because you did the work and you need to pay yourself first, is save money, whatever that is, right? So it's the same thing when we need to take care of our health. We have to take a mental break. We got to put ourselves first, okay? Because by doing that, it's going to allow us to not, overcompensate. It's going to allow us not to become detrimental. What we do become detrimental to our health. But back to your last point, that is a fear that all of us, and I don't care who you are, I don't care where you work at, all right. Unless you own your own thing, maybe that won't be a fear as much. You're like, I ain't afraid because this is mine, which makes sense, right? But if you're working for somebody else and you're a high achiever, and this is the difference too. We're talking high achievers here, okay? When you're a high achiever and this is your career, and you're gone 2-3 weeks or whatever the case may be, that fear, that anxiety, while you're on vacation and while you're hearing that, you start thinking they're going to move on without me. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing I learned from that, because I felt it. There's no question, right? Is that this? At the end of the day, first, I'm going to say something that doesn't sound that positive, right? But it's the reality.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Nobody's that important. The company can move on without you. Mm-hmm. Okay. If the company's not established and it needs one person for it to survive, then you probably at the wrong company anyway. Okay. Because it ain't gonna last long. All right. Mm-hmm. All that being said, here's the thing that I totally believe. The company is not hiring robots, they're hiring individuals that they feel that is going to be a major asset for their organization, not just in the role that they provide in terms of the duties, but the culture that they bring as well. That's where a lot of what we do is hard to replace, because there are individuals, especially when you talk about leaders, who, like what you were talking about, Alex, what you were saying earlier, Alex, people that empower and make other people better. All right. And then that perfume that they're putting out goes across the organization.
Yeah.
That company don't want to lose you. Okay. They want you to go on vacation. They want you to enjoy your time because they know how a valuable asset that you are in their organization, not just from a singular standpoint in terms of what you bring, but also from a plural standpoint in terms of what you're spreading throughout the organization, if you're doing that, okay? And that's the key here. And a lot of times people fail because they're singular in terms of, I'm just gonna do the best job I got here. I'm gonna focus on me. As a leader, as a high achiever, companies want people that's going to spread that out through their organization, that's going to help their culture, which those individuals will end up staying in that organization for a longer period of time, which makes you even more valuable. So those are the things. Those are the things that I've learned. And again, I'm not 100% cured. Okay. But I can definitely relate to it.
So we got to pick up on that. But you also said something I really, really want to talk about, what you just finished talking about. But you also said something that was also amazing that needed to be said. You brought up the point. You said, the whole thing about, if you love what you do and then you're not working, you still need a break.
There's like, there's no question.
You still need a break.
There's no question. I don't care who you are. You have to have a break. And we have to train ourselves to understand. I put it this way. It's as simple as this. It's not as simple, but it's just a quick phrase. It's okay to take a break. That's mm-hmm. just that simple. You don't have to substantiate it. You don't have to defend it. It's just life. It's okay. You asked me before we came on the podcast, how was the holiday and the Christmas holidays? I usually always take that time off a couple of weeks because I always want to rejuvenate. I want to reflect. I want to really just separate myself, because when you come back, you're starting all over again. It's go, 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 go. Okay. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. When we talk about it's okay, I think my last day was December 20th, 21st. And then I didn't come back to January 3rd or 4th. Being okay, I closed my laptop and I didn't open it until I came back. Now, was I, again, not being cured, was I itching to like, oh, I wonder, but at some point I was intentional to do that and spend time with my family and really reflect on the year and then think about the goals that I wanted to set for 2024. Those things are way more important, because here's the kicker. And you know this, Alex, because I'm pretty sure you talked to your clientele about this and you've had other people on this podcast who spoke about this. Life is short. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know anybody who has a title when they die. Okay. I'm chief grave officer. I'm grave officer. Okay. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't see you going nowhere with that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Life is short. The things that we think about that are most important are more material. They're more things that we associated our identity with some type of title at an organization or lack thereof. Yeah. The most important things is your family, your friends, your health, right? Those things come first, and then everything else comes outside of that. And the reason I say that, and you know this, how do we introduce ourselves, right? I'm Tony Franklin, and we start off where we work at. All right. Like that's our identity. And it's not. All right. It's not. And then when we, to your point, back to that question about your client who said, oh, I was gone 3 weeks and I feel. And then if we lose that or we get laid off or something happens in the company, then all of a sudden we're depressed because we're no longer this title, which we think is our identity. And it's not. It is not. It's not who you are. It's what you do. And so if we start trying, if we can work and re-engineer our minds, then to your point and to my still trying to get cured on these things. And again, I'm saying stuff that I still deal with. So don't get me wrong here. I'm not, you know, I'm not the person, you know, I'm not the Wizard of Oz who figured it out. Right. But I'm conscious of it to recognize that these are the things that we struggle with. And if we can re-engineer our minds, then taking a break won't be a big deal. Right.
You know, so yes, everything you just finished saying, that there's, especially because we're talking to ambitious leaders, people who are already executives and want to be there and so on and so forth. I think it's even more important that you hear this message, because what happens when you're in those leadership positions is you get those big titles. You get those big roles. You get that respect. You get, you pick up a phone and call someone, they call you back. Like there's a lot that comes along with this, that one day, if you choose to retire, or either you choose to retire or you get retired, that is no longer there. And if you built yourself around this image, that title, and you lose that title, now what do you have? You know, this is not always a popular statement. So if I get backlash on this, I'll just have to take it. So one of my clients is a phenomenal woman. Like she is slaying in her field. And you know, we're having a coaching session the other day, and she said, you know, Alex, I'm not doing well at work. And I was surprised. That's not who she is. And I'm like, hey, so what's wrong? And she says, well, you know, I know I could be doing, you know, 25%, 30% more. I know I could be doing it. And I said, is your boss upset with you? Oh no, my boss says I'm doing fantastic. Yeah. And so you're hitting all your marks. Yeah, but I know I could be doing 25, 35, 30% more. And I was like, didn't you say you had some other goals that were really important to you? Didn't you say you wanted to spend some more time with your family? Didn't you say these are other things that are important to you that you've told me over and over, but you're too busy for it. But you're telling me now you got 25, 30% effort, energy, resources that you could be putting towards something, but you think it has to go to the day job when your supervisor is ecstatic about what you're doing. And obviously, you know, she knew where I was going with this. So,
but right.
Like we are more than our job. And if we spend the, again, this balance word is a weird word. I don't like to use that word because balance is different for each person.
Correct. Correct.
But if we're killing it in the day job, then we should also have that time for our personal life, because that's what's going to fuel the day job.
Buddy, you're 100% right. And we don't, unfortunately, we haven't been taught that and trained that, right? When you come out of school, when you grow up, once you start getting the mentality of a career and what you're looking to do, you think that everything that you have to put everything in that to become successful. And that's a great story you just got finished saying, because here's somebody that's really doing really, really well. Also has chatted with you about wanting to do other things. Okay. And then, but still has that mindset, like, I can still do more here. And sometimes that has to do with, there's a couple of things here, right? It has to do with, you know, our own mental challenges in terms of, you know, even though they like what we're doing, in my opinion, I haven't pushed it to meadow. I can do more. Okay. That makes sense. More times it's a competition standpoint, right? Where we see somebody else getting flowers and love, or they got a promotion, and then we feel like for us to get those same accolades or the recognition, we need to do more, right? And a good song, man, I wish I don't know. I'll send it to you. I don't know the band. I was in Amsterdam and on a beach, and I heard this song. Me and a friend of mine was having this deep conversation, and we heard this song. We're like, that's it. So it's a song called Searching, right? And it's basically saying, what are you searching for?
Yeah.
And when you listen to it, you got to listen to it a few times, because initially you're like, I'm not really. But in the day, net, we're all searching for something.
Yeah.
Okay. And sometimes 9 times out of 10, my friend, we don't even know, right? Mm-hmm. Is it recognition that we want?
Yeah.
Is it love that we're searching for? Mm-hmm. Is it, so at the end of the day, that's something that each individual has to answer for themselves. But a lot of time, back to your point here, is that it's important as human beings for us to get our best performance, and for us to be real, have clarity, and for us to be able to be strategic, and for us to be able to create innovation and ideas, we need to let our minds rest, right? Because like anything else, they need a break as well.
And it's funny that you talk about, you know, what we're searching for. And that is, for me, that's in alignment with what do you want? What do you want? What are your goals? Like, do you want the house on the beach? Do you want the house in the forest? Do you want a job that works? Like literally figuring out what you want, so you can develop a strategy to get there, planning to get there. But you know, what's crazy is that it sounds like a simple question. It is not easy. It's not easy to figure out what you want. I mean, often are we? We think we want something, but we're like you said, we're just comparing ourselves to the person over there. Like, oh, well, if they got it, I guess I should want it too. I give a speech about this, and I say, you know, the thing that happened is you're going to work hard. You're going to get it. You're going to, I got it. And then you're not going to be happy.
No.
Because it wasn't what you wanted.
Exactly. Buddy, listen, I'm no different. See, this is the thing. I can chat about these things, but I'm no different, right? And when I listen to that song, I'm going to send it to you. It's real deep. Real deep. Okay. And you have, and to be fair, because you got to peel the onion back. Okay. Because what you may think initially at the top layer is totally different when you start peeling it back. Yeah. And so a lot of times we think what we want is based on what society said we should want,
yep.
What we want people to think that we want. Mm-hmm. And that's not real. So I'll even share here. I'll be vulnerable and share. After I listened to this, and I mean, buddy, I listened to it over and over. I'm at the gym. It's got a nice beat to it. So don't get me wrong. It's not a sad song. It's got a beat. And my man's chatting like, what are you searching for? What are you searching for? Right. And he gives some examples. Right. And I thought about it. And then all of a sudden, man, maybe it was a few months later, just kept listening. Finally, I realized the thing I was searching for was recognition. The thing that drove me, all right, it wasn't success that drove me. Yeah. What drove me to where I am today was fear of failure. Mm. Okay. so see my point here. So at the end of the day, we all, and that's why I recommend that you check it out and you listen, and your answer will come in your own time. Right. But for me, I could see, I was looking back and seeing all the hoops that I jumped through, right? That motivation, everybody's telling you you're a high energy person, blah, 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 blah. Well, guess what? There's a motivation behind that. Okay. Always. And so at the end of the day, when I was really marinating on these things, I was like, you know what? I did this because I wanted that recognition. I did this because I was so afraid to fail. I didn't want to be a statistic. You know, I'd be willing to jump through a million hoops. Okay. And so was it the money? Yeah, you can definitely, everybody needs to eat and all those type things. Yeah. But a lot of times we do what we do has less to do with material things. Sometimes it does, because I grew up in, you know, somebody grew up in an area where they didn't have anything. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and so that's their motivation. But 9 times out of 10, it has to do with how we see ourselves, or more importantly, what we didn't receive for ourselves as we grew up.
Man, you and I are kindred spirits. I am working on this as well. And it's a repetitive process. I think it was like 7 years ago, something like that. I finally clicked for me. What had been driving me to be successful was fear. Mm-hmm. The fear of being poor, right? Oh, I don't want that. I've seen it. I've been around it. I was terrified of it. And what I realized is that my fear, yes, it drove me to a level of success, but it also put a cap on it.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't going to go too far because I didn't want to lose what I had.
Exactly. Go ahead, bro.
So that fear, it really drives us. And I think, again, there's so many different directions. There's so many different flavors of fear that we have in our lives that we're afraid of, and they're driving us. And again, but just someone told me the other day, like, if you're working from fear, then you're working from defense. You're trying to protect yourself at some level. And here's the reality is, you know, if you're going to win a Super Bowl, you need a good defense. Absolutely. But you got to put some points on the board. You can't just be focused on defense, because at some point someone's going to get through. And if you haven't put no points on the board, there's the game already. So you got to be focused on offense. You got to be out there playing to win, not playing to lose.
Flat out, my friend, flat out. I'll even add another level to that. And it's this. So when I look at fear, I try to break it down, because I always believe in this, my friend, is that, how do you eat an elephant? Mm-hmm. One bite at a time. Okay. Mm-hmm. So 9 times out of 10, if you break big things down, then they make more sense. So when I look at fear, I look at it F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. Okay. And then this is not my stat. Your audience can look this up. 85 to 90% of the stuff that we're afraid of never happens.
Yep.
It never happens. And then the 10% that does happen, the outcome was still better than what we thought. Mm-hmm. Right. So just to show you how that fear is such a huge elephant in all of our lives, in all different type of things. And you're right when you talk about defense, because when you're fearful of anything, you're not moving forward. You're not being offensive. You're holding on, worrying, this is going to happen if I do this. This, they're going to take this away from me, this and that. And 9 times out of 10, it never happen. So again, just knowing those type of stats and knowing that, that makes it conscious. So when you do start backing up or like, oh, watch out, you can say, well, you know what? This thing, you know what? I'm moving forward. Whatever happens, happens. Yeah. It is what it is, right? And that can get you on that treadmill to go forward.
Oh, man. This is why I love having these organic conversations, because there's no way, I don't think either of us knew that this is the direction we're heading. There's two things I want to put on the table, and you can respond or not, or react.
Yeah, buddy.
One is, I thought it was very interesting. I watched this show a couple of years ago. It was a very interesting show, I think called The Order on Netflix, about vampires and demons and werewolves, things like that. And it was interesting because at the end, hey, spoiler alert.
Go ahead, buddy. Yeah, I'm good.
At the end of the season, there is this one demon they were going to release. And okay, if you release this demon, the whole world would be destroyed. The whole world would be destroyed. Like you had to stop this demon from being released.
Yeah.
You know, the craziest thing, the demon was fear. And the power was making us not have fear. That was the scary thing. Because if no one was afraid of anything, people were jumping off of roofs. They were driving their cars super fast. Like they were doing crazy stuff because they had no fear. And so I always try to remind people, like fear in itself isn't bad. But like you said, we have to have the time to be reflective and realize when we are operating from fear, so we can have a choice on whether we're going to do something or not do something, versus just automatically not doing something because you have a great rationale, but really it's fear.
Yeah, buddy. That's an excellent, I love the way you position that. And it's true, right? And so how we talk about these things, we have to talk about them in context. So yes, I should be fearful to drive 100 miles an hour down the highway, right? That's automatic. That's automatic, right? But I shouldn't be fearful to be the best me. Okay. Yeah. I should be fearful to jump into a pool drunk, right? But I shouldn't be fearful to go for that next opportunity.
Yes.
Or I shouldn't be fearful to start my own business. Mm-hmm. Or I shouldn't. So yeah, there's, I don't want to use the word balance. I think some of it is, let me be careful when I'm saying this, but I think for the majority of people, it's common sense in a lot of those things we talked about, fear of running a stop sign or fear of jumping in front of the train tracks when the train is coming. I think that's common sense, right? Mm-hmm. I think where the majority of people struggle, and look, buddy, you talk to a lot of people, this is your clientele. And I can imagine every one of them telling you, more importantly, I would imagine that you chat with these individuals and you see how talented they are. You see they have a superpower that can take them anywhere they want to go, right? If they focus on the superpower. Yeah. And you just spoke about one client, well, I want to do 30% more. But think about it. A lot of the reasons that's holding them back, including myself, you, all of us, mm-hmm. is fear. Is mm-hmm. fear. And mm-hmm. that's where we need to be, take that cap off, right? Because you know this, Alex, every human being on this planet, I don't care where you come from, I don't care what your race is, your sexuality, it doesn't matter. You are born with a talent.
Absolutely.
Everybody, I don't care if you got no money, everybody's born, they have a superpower. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we don't find that out till years later. All right. However, there's something that you're good at, really, really good at. And the key is that searching for, right? The key is to find that thing that you're good at, that you're great at. You don't even have to think about it. You just do it. You can do it all day, right? And then capitalize on it. Yeah. Okay. Because it can take you to places you're not even thinking about. What do, though? We cap our superpower. We come up with our own kryptonite, okay? And that kryptonite is fear, right? And if it was so easy, trust me, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you. We wouldn't be, because we all, I'm sitting here raising my hand saying, this is something that I recognize, mm-hmm. that I deal with, even starting my podcast, okay? Even, I was a couple of days ago, I was sitting in the kitchen like, is this thing gonna work? Right? And you know, is it? And then you just break. You, nah, I'm good. You know, blah 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 blah. But you do it. So I just think, my friend, if we can get more of our people to really just, more importantly, be cognizant of that, because there's an old saying: When is an alcoholic on his or her way to recovery? Is when they say, "I'm an alcoholic."
Yeah.
Right. You're halfway there, right there, by just recognizing that, my friend.
I know we're going to wrap up soon, so I'm going to give you the floor in just a second. But I want to just, I made this comment the other day and at an event I was speaking at, and it got initial, like people like side eyes and whatnot, but I'm sticking by it. The reason why I specialize and love working with executive leaders, is because I believe they're underserved. And initially people are like, what are you talking about? They get all the money, they get all the resources, they have all the influence. What do you mean? They have enough, focus on everyone else. I'm like, you know what? I can't tell you how many times I talk to a group and I talk about executive leaders and the struggles they have, and whether it be mental or physical, the self-doubt, family issues, they're going through challenges like everybody else, and they're responsible for all these other people. If money ain't in the organization, someone's losing their job, they're responsible for all that stuff. And I look at people and they say, well, they should just suck it up, they got enough money. And I'm like, you don't get it. And it's like, when we talk about this fear, we talk about these are people who are VPs, CEOs, chiefs everywhere. Like, it's crazy how many of us at these higher levels deal with this, and they believe that you have to deal with it alone. So I just suffer in silence, because you know what? My peers, they got it all worked out. It's just me who has this problem. So I'll just keep it to myself. And that is the furthest thing from the truth. Again, that's why I love coaching these leaders. Tony, I want to open the floor back up to you, but I also want to say, again, I want to just thank you in advance. Thank you so much for coming on. Is there anything you'd like to share with our audience as we begin to wrap up, please? And also feel free to reflect on what I just said as well.
Yeah, buddy. I like to reflect first on what you said, because I've experienced that. I've seen that firsthand. One of the things that we have to recognize, and we do this from a societal standpoint, we think that, and in every endeavor, in every industry, we think because people make a certain amount of money, they're immune to these things, right? And it's just not true. They capitalized on their talent, but that doesn't mean from an emotional, fearful standpoint that they got it all figured out. And here's the other thing too. What's that old saying? Is lonely at the top. Who can you go tell, right? Mm-hmm. And if you do tell somebody, are they going to be receptive? Are they going to say, well, don't worry about it, I got you back, let me get you some help? Or are they going to be like, we chose the wrong individual, all right? Mm-hmm. We don't want it. So that's their fear too, is if I say something, I could get fired, all right? Yes. I can, or if other people find out who want my position, they can use it against me. And then next thing you know, so there's a ton, but we're all human beings. And that's where the title part doesn't matter, is that we're all human. And at the end of the day, everyone has challenges, no matter how much money they make. And more importantly, if we start seeing people that way, we can be more empathetic and we can help whoever, regardless of where they fall in the chain of the hierarchy of success, right? And that's the goal, is to help as many people as possible. And in terms of what I want to leave for your listeners, you know, one of the things for me that searching that I came out of it with, and I, you know, Alex, if you and I had worked together 5 years ago and you asked me, Tony, where you want to be? What do you want to accomplish? I would have told you some stuff I thought you wanted to hear. I want to be CEO of a company, or I want to do this and I want to do that. Right. Yeah. But that really wasn't the truth. I really didn't know what the truth was, to be honest. But now I do. I know exactly what I want to do. And what I want to do is help as many people as possible who walk my path, within my path in this life, to help them wherever they need help. That's why I've been put on this planet. I found out my purpose in life is to help people without looking for anything in return because I enjoy doing that, right? And so based on that, I started a podcast called A Black Executive Perspective Podcast. And it's a safe space where we can have open and honest discussions about race because my goal is to bring people together, right? And there's a ton of people here that are great people, Black, white, Hispanic, Indian, Jewish, Muslim. And at the end of the day, the powers to be are trying to separate us, okay? Mm-hmm. They don't want us to come together. And I've seen by my own eyes, when you put people together from different backgrounds and you put them in a safe space and they can ask any question and they can come and learn and nobody will attack them or judge them, guess what? People come together. So I would love anybody here in your audience that would be open to listening to our podcast, definitely come listen. We talk about all different type of topics. We have guests that come on and talk about all different type of topics. But my goal is here to work with you, Alex. And to be fair, I'm going to have you come on. Okay. But more importantly is to be able to share. We can all learn from one another. And really the end goal is, and this sounds cliche-ish, I know, but to get away from the races and all focus on the human race, because we have more in common than we have that pulls us apart. And so that's what I want to share with you, my friend. And more importantly, I want to thank you for allowing me to come on the Executive Appeal Podcast. You have something that's going on that's tremendous, my brother. You keep it up because you're touching lives. You're helping people find their best person that they are. You're helping them really focus on hitting that superpower. So we need more people like yourself doing that, which is going to help all of us maximize our talent and our ability to be able to help the society moving forward.
Look, Tony, you're amazing.
Well, thank you, my friend. My wife don't think that sometimes when I don't, you know, bring the laundry up.
Trend because my wife,
she loves me.
I know my wife loves me, but I feel like sometimes she don't like me. <let's go. laughs> Hey, Tony, you are just such an amazing figure, such a powerhouse, a force, a positive force for good. And again, I'm echoing your sentiment. Please, everyone, if you listen to this right now, you got a little bit of time. Go on and pop over to his podcast, start listening to right now. You might as well. If you found value right now, imagine it's just engorging yourself with all the advice that he has. So I encourage you to shoot over there right now. Everyone, you know where I'm going with this. First off, I want to thank everyone because now we are in 4 years of the podcast going.
Wow, buddy, that's awesome. Crazy. That is awesome. That is awesome.
And I haven't missed a week yet than we were supposed to be posting. So it's not me. It's the leaders such as Tony who comes on, who volunteers their time to feed and pour into all of you. And me as well, because I learn every episode that I have. So again, I encourage everyone, continue to keep listening, keep growing, keep pouring into yourself. If you haven't checked out the book yet, Relationships That Work, 4 Simple Steps to Building Meaningful Connections, that's out right now. Amazon, you can find it there. Visit us at alextremble.com. I'd love to come speak at your next event. Whew. You know where I'm about to go with this. Don't look back, reach back. If you found something of value today, don't keep it to yourself. Find someone that you can say you should listen to this as well. Bring them to the table. And I encourage all of you, stay strong, stay positive, and definitely stay moving. See ya.
I love it. I love it.
Thanks for listening to The Executive Appeal with Alex Trumbull. I invite you to follow The Executive Appeal wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow me, your host, Alex Trumbull, across all socials or via email for exclusive webinars, courses, and speaking engagements on continued topics of executive leadership. So, until next time, stay strong, stay positive, and definitely stay moving.